This is professional wrestling legend, Downtown Bruno.
Hi, this is Sassy Seppi.
Hi, this is Leva Bates.
This is Dustin Five Star.
And Maria.
And you're listening to the...
And you are listening...
And you're listening to the Oversell Podcast.
It is episode 28, and we are talking to Mo Stiegel about WWE Hell in a Cell and everything else going on in the wrestling world. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast.
I love when he does that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Dan.
I am Mike.
And tonight, joining us to help us review WWE Hell in a Cell is a very special guest and friend of the show, Mo Stiegel. Mo, welcome back to the Oversell Podcast.
Glad to be back, guys. How's it been?
I'm just ready to get our listeners motivated.
Motivated, yes.
Whatever.
But before we get there, let's throw out a couple of plugs here. Of course, I've got to thank our sponsor, Amazon.com. Head over to OversellPodcast.com. Find the Amazon link right below the main player and do some shopping. Guys, the Christmas season is almost here. Spend some money on
my
Amazon.
My birthday's coming up.
Buy Mo a birthday gift
from
Iron
Man. Buy Mo a gift.
Apparently, I saw a tweet that Bruno's birthday is today.
I'm going to check that.
I think it's his 50th birthday.
We need to look that up on Wiki or something.
I am doing the Google machine now.
GTS, man.
Google that shit.
But if it is his birthday, please go out and buy Bruno something, too.
Yeah.
He needs more stuff, more wrestling collectibles
for
his... He needs his apple juice.
He needs that apple juice.
He needs apple juice. He needs more wrestling memorabilia for his house.
Yeah.
I mean, a Hall of Fame ring, just to name a few.
Hopefully he can get a Hall of Fame ring from the WWE and not Amazon.com.
But yeah, he turns 50 today.
Well, happy
birthday.
Could
buy Abdullah the Butcher's. It's on eBay.
Bears on eBay?
I don't that was a fake. I think they found out later was a fake.
And who was it that got really upset that Abdullah the Butcher got into the Hall of Fame? It was besides you,
was it Superstar Billy Graham?
It was Superstar Billy Graham.
Okay,
yeah,
I think he got upset at everybody getting into the Hall of Fame.
Dude, what did Superstar Billy Graham not get upset about?
If
he saw that contract of Hulk Hogan's that leaked out today, he'd really be pissed off.
I have not read that yet.
Oh my god, dude, have you not?
Yeah, I have not. I saw the post, but I have not read.
I haven't gotten a chance either. What was the contract like, Mo?
His contract stated that in 1998 he had signed a 4-year deal. He only had to work 6 of the 12 he was only obligated to work 6 of the 12 pay-per-views a month, right?
Wow.
For the first 3 years, it was in his contract that he had to be the featured star on those 6 pay-per-views, and he would get a $1.3 million advance every 4 months on his $4 million
pay-per-view
revenue. And that's not even counting his actual revenue and his merchandise.
And they wonder why that company is not around anymore.
That's not even his merchandise or his actual contract.
Golly.
Wow.
It's not even the fact.
Each pay-per-view. What?
It's not even the fact that the company's not around anymore. Sorry. I think there's a delay between me talking and you and there's a delay between me talking and stopping and you hearing it on Skype, I think. Sorry. The fact of the matter about the whole thing is just, like, it's ridiculous the amount of money that he took out of the company. But at the same time, that company had for all kinds of stuff. You know, they could write a check. They had an open checkbook for anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They could get whoever they wanted to and guarantee them a contract.
Kevin Nash, Scott Hall had pretty big deals.
Yep.
Who knows?
And if I'm not mistaken, I think they both said that if WCW hired anybody after them and gave them a bigger deal than Hall or Nash, Hall and Nash's money went up.
Yeah.
And they wonder why that company's not around anymore.
I know Kevin Nash has said that.
Wow.
I thought that was...
I know. I would love that. I'd be like, hey, sign Bret Hart.
Man, I thought the funniest story that I thought come out of the Monday Night Wars series was Nash when they made up the fake Diesel and the fake Razor. And Nash is sitting there like, you know, we know it's you guys. We know it's you, you know. And WWE wasn't telling anybody anything, you know. And they were like, we know it's you guys. You guys, they gave you more money, didn't they? Well, we'll sign new contracts. We'll give you more money. And Nash is just like, okay.
It was like an extra like $300,000 a piece or something for them.
Yeah, it was something ridiculous.
And then they're sitting there watching Raw because Raw was taped back then. They're watching Raw and the fake Diesel and Nash, fake Diesel and Razor come out.
Yep, and they were all in the production truck watching it because they said there was a TV on the back of the production truck that they could watch Raw on and see what was happening on Raw while they were doing stuff on Nitro. And they were all watching it when here comes the fake Diesel and the fake Razor out, and they just kind of looked at each other and shook their heads.
And fake Diesel was actually Kane.
Yeah.
And I remember the fake Razor Ramon was wrestling in Memphis for a while, too, after a while.
Yes, he was.
I totally forgot the guy's name. All right. Well,
he was wrestling as fake Razor, though.
Yeah. Well, no, he eventually went to a shoot name, I think. But I could be wrong on that. That was when I was in high school.
I think you're right, but I don't remember his shoot name.
He didn't last long.
No.
In Memphis. Well, guys, we had Hell in a Cell this weekend. I was actually, I thought it was quite a better show than I was expecting.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it a lot.
That one actually entertained me. There were some dull spots, though. There were some dull spots, and we'll get into them shortly.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Oh, man, everyone just loves to hate on Kevin Owens. But it started on the pre-show with a six-man tag. We had Ziggler.
Cesaro and Neville.
Versus
Rusev, Sheamus, and Barrett.
Now I did miss the pre-show. So you guys are
or
on
the
one.
Island of Misfit Superstars.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
You know what I thought crazy was about this card? Last year, 365 days ago, more or less, Dean Ambrose was the feature of the card. He was on the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even have a match on this one.
Nope.
Now part of that was
due Ambrose. Anybody that thinks Ambrose is going heel is high.
He's going heel at Survivor Series. It's happening.
No, it's definitely no. I totally disagree. I think with Cena out, Orton injured, Dean Ambrose is going to be the baby face, the top guy, right there with Reigns. Right, he's going to be the top guy.
That's what
and
I was thinking until
I love,
they
I mean,
Reigns.
We're not there yet, so I'm going to keep quiet about it. But I love how Hell in a Cell ended.
Yeah, we'll get there because I thought that last match was great. But yeah, solid match to open the show. Got the crowd ready. The baby faces went over. Really
brought a Cesaro section sign in.
Of course. Of course. You know, it's
Cesaro
funny.
Cesaro grabbed about five more of those brass rings.
Yeah,
he wasn't getting pushed.
I'm sure he could wrap his arms and legs around brass rings by now. And it's funny that they don't want to push him. But before the show, that there are people going around giving out Cesaro section signs.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But no one likes Cesaro, but let's get him over with these Cesaro signs.
It's all about timing, man. There's only one spot. There's only one spot in each layer on the card. I mean, you got to give it time. Oh.
Next up on the card, we had the opponent for John Cena. That was absolutely shocking.
That.
The open challenge.
Yeah, that was insane.
The last person that crossed my mind was Alberto Del Rio.
That was the absolute last person you ever
thought. Especially when
Coulter
came out. Because as soon as he came out, I looked over.
Match.
As soon as he came out, I looked over to Amanda and I was like, damn it, I do not want to see Swagger come out.
No.
See, and I would have been pumped. I was pumped for somebody like Swagger.
Swagger, or it wouldn't have been Cesaro, you know, because they all broke that up a long time ago. But
hey, it could have been Mr. America. That was my money when I thought.
There you go. Oh my God, that would have been hilarious.
I thought Del Rio looked great in the match. I've never really been a fan of the guy, but I think his time away did him well.
Yeah.
You know, he did.
I think he physically looked better.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Than his last time.
I think his time in Lucha Underground really served him well. And hopefully, you know, we're going to see – I don't want to see Mexican billionaire, peso-nair,
right,
or whatever.
Pesonaire.
Yeah.
Pesonaire.
Because millionaire changes depending on which country you're from.
Pesonarian.
You like it, don't you?
Yeah.
But, man, and Cena went over. He went over Cena clean.
Yeah.
With the super mule kick is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah. Super mix kick or whatever. I don't
know. Peso kick.
Yeah, there you go. The peso kick.
Peso kick.
He went over clean. It was a great match, and, you know, it's...
The crowd was into him.
Yeah.
I mean, they were hot for him.
I think.
Well, they were hot because WWE pulled off a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see any reports of Del Rio at the event.
I mean, a couple weeks ago, you saw rumors that they were wanting him back, but you had no idea that
he was
going to
come back
up
and beat.
I mean, no,
not just show up, but go over.
Like I've been telling people, WWE is not stupid. They're going to leak stuff out to make you think one day. Like, I saw reports Sunday morning that Daniel Bryan had just boarded a plane headed towards Hell in a Cell. So,
yeah, I saw that too.
I know a lot of people were thinking, oh, Bryan got cleared. It's going to be Bryan.
And they were talking like me and Dan had talked about. There was rumors that it was going to be Samoa Joe.
Yeah, they were. I thought for sure they would bring somebody up from NXT.
Yeah, me.
But
I personally was hoping it was going to be Tyler Breeze.
Yeah,
right.
I was hoping it would be Tyler Breeze too, but they pulled the trigger on him on SmackDown. I think they wanted it to be a genuine surprise. Whoever was going to come out and face him.
I was in the back of my head. I was really hoping it was going to be Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
I like Baron Corbin.
I never said the N-word, brother.
Thank God it wasn't Hulk Hogan or Mr. America or
But apparently
Thunderlips.
At NXT event this weekend, Baron Corbin got into it with Corey Taylor.
From Slipknot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from Slipknot.
Slipknot, yes.
I saw that. It was like a video clip of him smacking the shit out of Corbin. I was like, dude, I don't think I would have slapped a 6'8". Dude like that.
Especially not when you got to get on a step stool to do it.
Yeah. Seriously. Get on your friend's shoulders and slap that bitch.
Dan, that's our tag finish. Come on.
You know, and
I forgot about that one.
I am happy in my life that I got to see State of Shock.
Oh, yeah.
that was a fun moment to see you guys wrestle up in Selmer, Tennessee.
That was a fun moment for me, too. I enjoyed that.
Victoriously wrestle.
Yeah.
In Selma, Tennessee. Hey, do we really count as tag? Is that our third tag title? Like, does that count?
No, yes. No, I'm making the official mandate it is. Just
second,
so I say.
Second? No, oh. That's the only
hey,
second.
Hey, if
tag
Jim
title.
Hacks, if Duggan can pull the TV title out of a trash can.
Yeah.
I can pull the tag belts from underneath the ring, however they got under there.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's move on to the next match at Hell in a Cell. Mike?
New Day and Dudley Boys.
That is good. There's a couple of slip-ups.
From the Dudleys, of all people.
Right. But I like the throwing the trombone. You know, pulling out the old Eddie Guerrero cheat move.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I like the fact that the ref, since he didn't see it, let the match go on.
Yeah. That was good.
And New Day doing what heels should do, cheating to win.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, they're really working hard to get New Day over, and it's working.
Well, you know, New Day has that attitude of, we're just going to go out there and say whatever the hell we want on the mic.
Yep.
Screw it. Let's have fun.
Which, by the way, if people remember on the Stone Cold podcast, is exactly what Austin said. Guys got to start doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Y'all have to take chances.
Well, yeah, and that's what he told Kevin. He once told Kevin Owens at an airport, like, what do I have to do to stand out or whatever? He's like, never shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Best advice you can give them. The New Day is taking what's been given to them, and they have run with it. Mm-hmm. You know, and when they first came out, I was like, this thing is three guys just, what are they, like a choir or something? And then, but when they started turning it around.
Yeah. When they first came out there, it looked like it was going to bomb. It was another Mantar.
Yeah.
You know? And
you never go full Mantar.
You never go full Mantar. Yeah, no. No, it did. It looked like it was going to be another, you know, the goon or, you know, whatever, you know.
I mean,
I hate to sound like
I was on the bandwagon the whole time, but, like, I dug it from when it started. I dug it for one reason. I've always liked Big E, but he did not work as the monster heel they tried to portray him as.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you put him in New Day and he started getting loose and, you know,
He can use his humor.
It was great, and it gave Kofi a spot because Kofi's been stagnant since his hopeful run against Randy Orton back in 2009. And it's, you know, and Xavier Woods, I've loved him since he was Consequences Creed down there in Dixieville.
Yep.
And it's just great. I love New Day. I knew they were going to get over, and now they are the over group in the company.
Yep. And did y'all get to see when they were on Table of Three?
No.
One thing that sticks out in my mind is Xavier said that just give us a chance to fail.
Yeah.
That's all you have to, just give us a chance to fail, and I guarantee you we run with it, and they did.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure it's going to lead to a match at Survivor Series, and it's going to be...
Big E, his sense of humor. And yeah, he shows through in his gimmick now.
He's very charismatic.
So, you know, and he is, he's very charismatic, and, you know, it shows, all that is starting to show through in this gimmick, and I think that's part of the success of his gimmick, and, you know, as well as Xavier Woods' charisma, mm-hmm. and there, I think a little bit of that is bleeding off into Kofi now,
you know,
because with Xavier absent at the pay-per-view, Kofi got to talk on the mic a whole lot more.
And if I was to ever become if I were to ever have become a pro wrestler, I'm pretty sure I would have been Caucasian Kamala.
That was good. I was actually like 30 minutes behind on watching the pay-per-view, you know.
Uh-huh.
But you can tell, you can go back and you tell the network, you know, I want to watch this from the beginning.
Right.
You know, and it kicks it back, you know, and I'm about 30 minutes behind. And I'm kind of like watching Golden Boy's live tweets and everything.
Yeah.
And he starts talking about the Caucasian Kamala. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And then all of a sudden New Day comes out and they cut their promo. I'm like, oh my God, that's freaking hilarious.
I would have been the Caucasian Kamala.
Yes.
Just paint some stars on my nipples and a moon on a moon or a sun on my chest.
I'm totally confused. I thought Golden Boy was doing a Caucasian Kamala.
Hang on.
Oh, no.
All right, back up now.
Next match, Mike.
Next match.
Did y'all see the pre-show?
Hold on. What?
Misinformed?
No. Next match.
Wait, did y'all see the pre-show when the Dudleys were answering the tweets with Todd Phillips?
No, I didn't get to see that.
Todd Phillips messed up like two or three times, and you could tell that the Dudleys were getting kind of upset, but they were also laughing at him.
Oh, God.
Because at one point, he called New Day, like referenced New Day as the Dudleys, and Bubba Ray's like, no, we're the Dudleys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, whatever. And then he was talking about, like, I think previously on Raw or SmackDown when they put Xavier through the table.
Yeah.
And I cannot remember what he called the move, but, I mean, he butchered the name of it. Like,
oh,
he called it like a... like a power slam from the top rope or something like that. And like D-Von,
my brother, simplify.
D-Von actually looked over at Bubba and just laughed. And then went on to answer the question. It was great.
Well, he's getting future endeavors.
Yeah.
Todd Phillips is all right, but I like him more when I've seen him on Swerved.
Swerved.
Yeah. Like when that deadpan... All right, I hate you. Just the deadpan walk away was hilarious.
I agree. We did a backstage segment with him for the network when I dressed up as the Penguin on Raw, and it was hilarious because like we ended up at the end of the segment like picking him up like we did Adam Rose and hauling him off, you know, into whatever, you know. And it was pretty funny because he was laughing at the end of it, you know, and we were all laughing at the end of it because we were acting so damn stupid, you know. And we put him down, and he come over to me, and I was like the only one that he did this to. He came over to me and was like slapping hands with me and was like, thank you, man, thank you, because I was one of the ones that was holding him up, making sure he wasn't falling on his face. So... But yeah,
whenever you're in need,
funny.
Dan Matthews has a Penguin pin for you.
That's right. I'll dress up as a Penguin and hold you up in the air. It'll be great.
Well, Mo, I don't know if you know this. Me and Mike, we were also on Raw one time.
Oh, snap.
We were part of the Occupy Raw movement.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
That was.
I was on Raw one time. I was part of the Watch Raw movement.
I think I saw you sitting in the crowd there, Mo. You're the kid holding a lollipop, right?
He's the one holding the Moj Degal sign up. Yeah. Sign Moj Degal now.
Sign me, please. Does anyone know who I am?
We'll cut promos for food.
What match is next, Mike?
The Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt.
Match of the night. Easily.
I liked it.
It was what a Hell in a Cell match should be.
Yeah, they tore each other up pretty good with those kendo sticks.
Oh my God, when Roman had both of them and was just going to town on Bray, I'm like, I bet you he woke up.
Oh yeah,
Monday morning.
Anytime I see kendo sticks used in a match, I always flash back to that. The ECW pay-per-view they did, the first one, when they had all of the original ECW guys come out and face, like, WWE guys
and stuff. One Night Stand.
You know,
One Night Stand, okay.
The first one that was, like, really, really good,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
I remember there was a spot in, I think it was Just Incredible, Lance Storm and Dawn Marie came out, and they were facing Jericho. And I think Justin Credible got a hold of a kendo stick.
Nailed Jericho in the head.
Nailed Jericho in the head. If you watch it back in slow motion, the tip of the kendo stick breaks. And the very end of the kendo stick wraps around to the front of Jericho's forehead and slaps him right between the eyes. And it's probably the most brutal thing you could probably ever do with a kendo stick. I'm always flash back to that anytime anybody brings kendo sticks into play. Because that was like the most brutal thing I saw. And they showed it in slow motion. Because it was like that. You saw that kendo stick break a little bit. And the tip of it, just the very tip of it, that's where all the momentum is.
Yep.
When it was right around and slaps him dead center in the middle of the forehead.
See, to me, I always go back to Tommy Dreamer in the first ever ECW Singapore Canes match. Do you remember
where he got Kane because he lost?
He got Kane.
Yeah, he wouldn't. Yeah. And he kept getting back up and getting back up.
No, thank you, sir, man.
Yeah.
And like you said, at some point it wrapped around and hit him in the face.
Oh, yeah.
And he still got back up. And, you know, but going back to this match, man, I loved the spot of the spear through the table.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Reigns went over, and I think he's moving towards probably main event in SummerSlam or
Survivor Series.
But man, this match,
it's
going to be. I'm ready to see Bray start winning some.
Did anybody actually sell the fact that they'd been in Hell in a Cell the night before last night? You know what I'm saying? Like, would they? Because, like, it used to. I didn't watch Raw, so, you know, I can't tell, but. Like, you know, after all the Hell in a Cells and the TLC matches and everything like that they'd had on a pay-per-view the night before, the guys would come out and they'd be, like, acting like they got beat up, you know. They'd be hobbling to the ring or, you know, selling a part of their body or something like that. Was anybody selling anything last night?
I don't think so.
I don't think Bray Wyatt had a choice.
Probably not.
I know Reigns at the pay-per-view when Ambrose came in to talk to him and, you know, was like, time to celebrate. I'm Dean Ambrose, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Reigns was selling it then, you know. He was kind of going from that doubled over to leaning back to, you know, shaking his neck.
But that was still like 20 minutes after the match.
Yeah, now the next night, you know, he got in the Lazarus pit that the WWE has and came out fresh as can be.
I am healed.
Yeah.
I was surprised that nobody else was involved in this match.
Roman goes over cleanly.
Yeah.
Clean as you can with all the, you know, shit going on in the...
I don't understand, like, they don't... How Bray is supposed to be a threat when he loses all these matches.
Yeah.
You know, because after...
find out now.
Because after a while, you know, you just kind of... It kind of loses the fact that he's a threat to anybody if he loses so many matches.
Well, I like that... Now that the whole Wyatt family is showing up, there's four of them.
Yeah.
And abducting people.
Oh, now it's playtime. Now I guarantee you the rest of this year and the entirety of next year is going to be the Wyatt family.
And I sure hope so. And George is going to kill me in the chat room for this, but I'd like to see the Wyatt family add a couple more members by the name of the Ascension. And I mean it because, like, it'd be cool to have, Bray Wyatt just leading a cult of people, kind of like The Undertaker did with the ministry when he had Minion, Viscera, the Acolytes. I want to see something like that, you know, give him some followers.
Now, I was talking to some people a couple weeks ago about it. I was talking to Vince and Swain. Mm-hmm. Telling them how just, I want to see them add, you know, two or three more people. At that point, Rowan hadn't come back yet, but I was like, you know, he needs to come back and, you know, one or two more and just have the Wyatts just, you know, run through the WWE.
Yep. I mean, we need, it's been
about to happen.
George said so they can job to more teams in NXT. I knew I was going to catch flack for it. I knew it. George, you know, I'm a,
I mean, they're already, the Wyatts are already losing, so I mean. Yeah.
Well, not at the end of this pay-per-view. It was like,
hold on, we all lose together.
I think social media has made people totally overthink all this stuff. If you go back to the Attitude Era before the internet had such a grip on the wrestling world, it was nothing for The Undertaker to lose a match or to lose two matches and then come back and beat Austin for the title. Right? Wins and losses, they're just, they're that part of the story. Mm-hmm. Now you're about to see the climax. Bray Wyatt, he's got the Wyatt family. He has The Undertaker. He has Kane. It's about to get, he's about to get on. And the quote, you know, along, it's about to get sugging and bugging, baby.
All right, next match on the card. Divas title?
Divas title match.
It was all right. It was good.
That figure eight at the end was all pretzeled up. I'm not sure.
I think they were both a little knocked loopy because I think they had a little headbutt there when they did that top rope spot.
Yeah. I think that just didn't look right.
That looked very
I think they kind of knocked noggins there a little bit.
Yeah, just a tad.
But the Nikki has, and I'll admit this, Nikki's gotten better.
Yeah.
Than what she was. She was a
train
wreck.
I always thought Brie was going to be the better one.
Yeah.
When they first came in, that's how it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nikki's slowly gotten better.
Yes.
Brie, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, she's
Brie, I'm pretty sure at this point, has been working with her husband, you know, one-on-one about getting better as wrestling.
And Nikki's probably been working with her husband.
More than likely.
That's why she always kicks out at two. Never mind.
George says that match was botch-a-mania.
Botch-a-mania.
Yep. Which
it definitely wasn't one of Charlotte's better outings.
No, but it still is, it's an improvement.
I think they've made the same mistake with Charlotte that they made last year with Roman Reigns. They put all the eyes on Roman, like, this is our boy. This is who we're going with.
Well,
and people went, no.
I think it has a lot to do with who she's working with, though. You're working with Nikki.
Oh,
you're not working with a Paige or Sasha Banks you're not working with any of the NXT gals that you've consistently worked with over the last 2 years.
That's about to change,
and
though.
We know that's definitely a factor.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, once you took away the fact that you've been working with somebody for 2 years and you're working with somebody that you've only been working with for 3-4 months total, and that person doesn't want to do all the things that Paige or Sasha Banks or Bayley or anybody like that was doing, they don't want to do that. You know, they want to do their stuff. Well, then you got a whole separate ball game you're playing here because you have to wind the match down and pace the match like what we saw at the pay-per-view. We didn't see a whole lot of, you know, extravagant moves or anything like that. We saw basic maneuvers, move for move wrestling, and you didn't really see anything special out of the women's match. I liked the finish.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was all pretzeled up, You couldn't tell if she really had the move on her or not. And when they showed it in the instant replay, you actually saw, she actually did have something on her. But I don't think it was the figure eight that she meant to put on her.
And George broke it down really good in our chat room. Nikki Bella's gotten better, but she still can't go at the pace of the NXT women.
Right.
No. But she is getting decent. And I'm still looking forward to these teams of divas getting completely broken up. And I want to see...
They're working on it now.
And I necessarily... I want to see Sasha go single, but I want to see her join the New Day as well. Because I think that that would just be a hell of a team.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like I want to see Paige get together with some
the Ascension.
Not the Ascension. I'd like to see like a foreign invasion stable involving Paige.
That would be great.
And
Thor with, you know, Rusev, Barrett, and Sheamus right now.
There you go. I like
and
that.
Bailey can join the Wyatt family, and we're all good.
Bailey, Mo. Are we going to have that discussion again? No, that's, you know.
Follow the hugs, man.
There you go.
Next match, Mike.
Oh, we'll go with the Kevin Owens and Ryback. And that's about all I have to say about it.
Yeah, okay, this is one of those situations where your commentary could turn an average match into a good match, and a good match into a great match. And the commentary was not putting over Owens being a dastardly heel.
Right.
And, you know, I love the way Owens beat, was it Ryback with the eye gouge?
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's
last month.
Yeah,
they actually missed it on this match,
right?
Because they were too busy talking, and they weren't paying attention to the match, and they missed it. There was an eye poke this time,
mm-hmm.
So you know, this time the commentators were so busy talking about stuff and weren't paying attention, they missed an eye poke, and it was not recognized by them, even on a replay. You know, which I'm not even sure Vince, you know, backstage would have caught it, because you know, Vince is all of the time yelling in their headphones about them, about what to talk about,
right?
And everything.
Yeah, and so we'll get to what sent him into a rage this week.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I don't even think it was what you might think it was, because I heard differently on an update later on, but we'll get to that in
a
second.
Yeah.
So they totally missed the finish.
Yep.
They didn't miss the finishing move, but they totally missed the setup to the finish.
Yep.
And that would have put Owens more as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't recognize the eye gouge at all. They didn't recognize the eye poke. I mean, you know, and it did. It put less emphasis on the finish of the match. It made it look like he went over clean.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem was when it got time for this match, I had forgotten about this match being on the card.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really because, you know, I like both guys. I really like both guys. But it's like I've said the past, you know, couple weeks, they announced this match, but they really didn't do anything to push it. I mean, they didn't even interact until the last, like, the last Raw before.
Had the Divas match. And it's like, yeah, that was an okay match. All right, what are they going to put up next? Kevin Owens and Ryback. Time to go to the shitter.
My thoughts exactly. Anyway. Cheesy poops. Anyway.
Mo, we've talked about... go ahead.
I mean, I know I always give Kevin Owens a hard time, you know, say the least. But honestly, I think my biggest problem, because I actually did get to go and watch that match online, and I think the biggest problem with that match is they're trying to build Kevin Owens as this no-nonsense, hard as nails, I'm not the stereotypical superstar, but I got a brain, and I'm going to fight you. They shouldn't have done anything with the eyes this match. That was finished last month. When they did the eye poke, the eye gouge, the eye rub, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to call it, it shouldn't have been that. It should have been something totally different to get Kevin Owens over as a heel.
You know what should be brought back? Two things. Managers and throwing powder.
Yes.
Or flash paper.
What, flash paper?
Or Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens throwing, you know, cupcake sprinkles, something. Oh,
oh
my God.
Man.
They do need to bring managers back in
a
big way.
They
really do.
I mean, they're doing that with Coulter, at least.
Yeah.
And his little scooter. I think him on the scooter thing is just hilarious.
Yeah. I'm sure that was done because Dutch is not getting around so good.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, thanks.
What?
You're a jerk.
Vicky.
What, me?
Man's
You're talking about me?
Be like, I love that he's in a scooter.
I mean it as far as the comedy element of it.
Right.
I'm a big Dutch Mantel fan, going back to his days in Memphis.
Did you see Kayfabe News? It had a picture of Coulter in the, you know, Coulter on the four wheeler and had Del Rio sitting beside him. He says, progress, you know, in big caps and an exclamation point. He says, white man rides lawnmower.
Mexican holds title or
Mexican,
something like that.
Mexican walks to the ring. Yeah.
But then you think, like, Vicky, other than Dutch and Heyman, you know, the only mother manager they've had in the past 10 years is Vicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or and that dude that got fired because he couldn't stupid shit.
That guy was great.
I'm saying he was great.
Yeah.
Pam Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you can't go out there and.
You guys are like Kobe Bryant in a hotel room.
Yeah.
You can't say
oh, man. If they'd have kept him, it'd have been great. Just suspend him for a month or something and bring him back and have him cut promos while he's gone.
You know what you could have done with him, too? Like, eventually, imagine this. He turns on the primetime players and joins the New Day.
Oh, yeah. That would have been great. If he was still in play, that would have been great.
Oh, man.
All right. Where are we on the card? We're getting sidetracked. Where are we on the card? We're getting sidetracked. What was the match we just went over?
Kevin Owens and Ryback.
Nobody even cares. Nobody remembered that match.
There's one guy in this conversation that cares.
Yeah. What was the next match?
A couple weeks ago, you didn't even know Kevin Owens had the title. I mean, come on.
I totally brain farted that.
Seriously.
Well, I think that goes to show you just how far the Intercontinental title is downplayed now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I've said, it's that this whole feud.
Yeah.
They built it up. Actually, they never built it up. They just kind of announced that, hey, just kind of this is what's happening.
Threw it together.
Yeah.
And Cesaro and Owens had a match on Raw the next night, and it was awesome.
Any match Cesaro has is awesome.
Him and Owens just have great chemistry together. And I know it's because they worked in PWG and all those, and you know, all the over the indies together. But, you know, just him and Ryback just didn't have a good chemistry, I think, in the ring.
I think they cared about as much as everybody else did.
Maybe. Next match.
What time's catering closing?
Man.
We got the Seth Rollins and Demon Kane.
Oh, my. And the winner of the match was the announce tables.
Yeah. Freaking man. I think you got Derek on that one.
Yeah, I told you I did my homework. You know, fancy TVs.
First problem I have with this match, it's for the WWE title.
Yep.
Put it at the end of the card. It does no service to your title, not being the creme de la creme of the card.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have Undertaker and Brock.
You need to take that kind of talk to the UFC, son.
Well, no, at UFC, sometimes the title card could be like right smack dab in the middle of the pay-per-view, depending on how long it is.
Sometimes they don't even have title matches.
Yeah.
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 That was a CM Punk reference, but okay.
I see. Aha. Sorry, that one flew right over my head, Mo. I apologize. But
intellectual savior of the masses, Most Eagle. I think I copyrighted, though.
I wish you'd go back to that. Anyway,
yeah,
this match,
is what we expected it would be.
Yeah, meh.
I mean, it's a filler program,
this match
basically.
Killed my childhood some, too. You remember when Kane used to put on awesome matches and used to be intimidating?
Yeah.
Cool.
When he was ripped.
Yeah. Yeah. When he was actually booked like just a straight-up monster and not a repeat of a TNA gimmick.
Did he sit up at all during that match?
Not that I can remember.
There wasn't
I think he did it once.
Okay.
He didn't drag him to hell. He didn't. I mean,
that was already done on Raw the week before.
Which, you know, if you got drugged to hell, shouldn't you have like a burn or two?
You gave Kevin Owens that finish, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, getting drugged to hell, that's one that you think you would sell the next week or the next night. I mean.
Maybe scorch mark here or there, you know. Maybe a burn or two in your Power Ranger outfit.
They never talk about what happens after that.
Yeah, you walk out, you got, like, holes torn in your tights and shit.
Yeah.
First rule of Kane dragging you to hell. No one talks about Kane dragging you to hell.
Second rule, never get drugged to hell by Kane. George says we all got drugged to hell while watching that match. But yeah, for a world title match and Kane being in the program, I didn't like it. This is probably one of the lower end of the card to me. You know, the highest I think is still Bray and Roman. That was the best match.
I would say it is probably the first dud match of Seth Rollins' reign.
Yeah.
Rollins has been knocking it out of the park every single month, every single pay-per-view. He even took Sting, a 56-year-old man, right, and, well, he probably shouldn't have done that powerbomb, but, you know, the match itself wasn't bad.
And
he couldn't get one out of Kane, though.
And Kane cannot take a pedigree to save his life.
No, he always does like a knee drop.
Well, no,
yeah.
It's like he's taking it to save his life. Yeah. That's why it looks so bad.
No, actually, it's funny y'all say that, because like when I went to Mania at Superdome, remember they had the Shield against Kane and the Outlaws, and it really looked like, especially live, it looked like they were going out of their way not to hurt Kane.
Yeah, well.
Like, when Roman would hit a spear on Kane, it's like he hit it with less velocity than he would do, you know, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and I mean, Kane is no spring chicken, but, you know, it was a meh.
Yeah, I think his days are about up.
Well, hopefully this feud between Reigns and Rollins is going to pick up some steam and, you know, be a little bit more entertaining than a Kane Rollins program.
Yeah.
If they do it right, it should be, because if you're like me and you like to go back and look at the history of everything and feuds, there was supposed to be a Seth Rollins Roman Reigns match a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Roman got hurt.
Yeah.
The match never happened.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns nor Dean Ambrose has been able to get revenge on Rollins breaking up the Shield.
Yep. Let's move on to them. Go ahead.
Oh,
no, go ahead.
Which is why I still stick to my theory that Roman will not walk out of Survivor Series with the WWE title, because the main event of WrestleMania is going to be the Shield in a triple threat match.
That's what I've been hoping for.
I think that's what the world is.
That would be awesome.
And that would sell a good chunk of those tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's move on to the main event, Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker.
And it wasn't Biker Taker again, damn it.
Thank God it wasn't Biker Taker.
Oh, thank God.
Biker Taker would have won that match.
No, Biker...
dude, really? Like, what? No. You need to go back to 2002, son. You already tried.
That was great.
We kind of touched on this before you started recording or whatever. Honestly, this match broke my heart, shattered my entire childhood. Not since the day the streak died have I cried so hard about an Undertaker match.
Man.
I mean, think about it. You look through history, 25 years of Survivor Series, no one has ever got the last laugh on the Undertaker. Ever. And you go all the way back. Brock had debuted in 2002. He beat Hogan. He beat Rock. He beat The Undertaker inside Hell in the Cell. Fast forward to WrestleMania 30, he breaks the streak. SummerSlam, like we touched on the podcast, SummerSlam, horrible finish, made Undertaker look like shit. And then Brock beat The Undertaker clean inside the cell, becoming the only man in history to put down the dead man with no consequences.
Well, it did take a nut shot to get him. And nut shots, I guess, work on dead guys just as well as they work on people like Brock Lesnar.
And F5s on the wood.
Yeah. And I like that they tore that ring up.
Yeah.
That brought
a new element to it. That's something I hadn't seen before, except for when, you know, the Nexus guys came in and tore the ring up.
Right.
You know, that was pretty wicked, you know, exposing boards and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
so which do y'all think was better, though? Hell in the Cell 2002 or Hell in the Cell 2015?
I'll say the 2002 one.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. That's legendary. Because
that was the one Undertaker supposedly like had a broken wrist or something.
Yeah.
He had the cast on. And
But two.
He took illegal drugs on pay-per-view. Just shoot me up, Doc. Shoot me up. Yeah.
What's that, Dilaudid? Give me 50 of those.
But
does anybody remember that? They did that on as a skit backstage on pay-per-view. The doctor's going, I can't give you this. It's not legal. I can't do it. The Undertaker's like, dude, I'm going to beat your ass. Shoot me up with whatever's in that needle.
Yeah. And then what did the purport that said that Vince got pissed off about that you read?
That they got color.
They got color. Okay. Because
that and the fact what I read was Brock, that
they got
they sent the doctor in.
Kevin Dunn did.
Yeah, they sent the doctor in, and then Brock just shoved him off. And
Brock shoving the doctor off was what actually pissed everybody off.
Yeah.
Because the doctor going in there was a 100% shoot.
Yeah.
And Brock shoving him down was a 100% shoot.
And so, they said when he got shoved, he just left.
Well, yeah. That's what I would have done too. And I mean, you know, I'm not saying go back to where. And I heard this on the Kayfabe Connection podcast hosted by my guy Fred. You know, you don't want I don't want blood like Ric Flair's hair is orange by the end of the match. Blood, but you know,
no, the real blood is the mat's covered in it.
Right.
When they get when you see a legitimate stain on the mat and you can see it on TV, that's real blood.
Yeah.
You know, and Brock was busted open for real.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of concern that he had bladed or, you know.
Nah,
but
I mean, he busted it on the ring post.
Yeah, it was legitimate.
You saw when it happened.
Yeah, it was a legitimate cut all the way to the top. From what I understood, it was supposed to be like 9 staples in
his head. Yeah, he had 9 staples.
That's an, yeah. Bah. So, yeah.
Better Brock than me.
Yeah. Yep. Overall,
no, we just hit you over the head with a guitar,
right?
Yeah, he got clocked in the head with a guitar at the TCW show here.
Shouldn't have been messing with Winnie the Pooh's honey.
Oh Lord! Oh, George says I wish Kevin Dunn had gone down and got shoved.
Yep,
that'd have been cool.
I think
Vince
the whole
could have tore both his quads getting in the ring again.
Yep.
No blood, damn it.
Well, that was Hell in a Cell. Like I said, overall, I thought it was a good show.
You're missing out the best part of Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Wyatts come out, attacking Undertaker, all four of them,
mm-hmm.
beating him down, and then, like, carrying him away. Like a martyr. Back to the back to God knows where.
And last night, they hauled off Kane.
They hauled off Kane.
Whoa. Did you hear what Mo said?
What?
To rape him.
Oh, God.
Hey, he said on Raw he was devouring Undertaker inch by inch and piece by piece. Ugh. Razzler, you know, put the little logo on it. But.
Cannibalism.
Well, that's seriously going to lead into a Survivor Series match.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to have the Undertaker and Kane, and who else do you think is going to join them?
I don't know, but if
Sting and Dean Ambrose.
The Ascension.
So they can turn on Undertaker and Kane and join the Wyatt family.
There you go. We are.
But y'all remember a few years ago they abducted Kane?
Yeah.
This is the second time they've abducted. You think he would know what was going on by now?
Yeah.
You think like, oh hell, I mean, no, not again.
He went corporate after that.
He's gonna go like. He's probably gonna go corporate again. Damn it. Every time I get abducted by the Wyatts, I go corporate.
He went corporate. Now he's going to go like, he's going to put the Terminator outfit on and go all rebellion.
Yeah, there you go.
I am Kane. I am part of the resistance.
Well, maybe.
Kane's going to come back as a Biker Kane.
Biker Kane.
Biker Kane.
He comes back as an insurance salesman.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kane. I'd like to talk to you about my. Never mind.
Fire insurance? Anyone?
George says, too bad they won't make
it. Go partially burned man walking.
There you go. Oh, man.
No, that's hilarious.
George says, too bad they won't make Taker Bray's father. That'd be an interesting kind of turn.
You know what I would like to see happen personally? It probably won't happen. But you remember back they did something a lot cheesier than this, but tried to do it when a few years ago on SmackDown, like, you know, the really bad years, like 2003 to 2004. When Paul Heyman stole the urn and supposedly had power over the Undertaker.
Yeah.
What if Bray Wyatt has power over the Undertaker?
Ooh, that'd be an interesting twist.
Undertaker joins the Wyatt family.
I remember a similar angle to that in TCW when they took, who was it, John Michael? They took him back there and...
Who the
over the top rope and
it was hilarious.
Vince Diggle getting two over.
See, John Michael is a friend of ours in the business, and he does a perfect imitation of Howard Finkel.
Oh, Lord.
And he in this gimmick, they basically took him to the back and brainwashed him, right? This heel group did. And he comes back out, and he's got all these torn, he's got all these like torn garments on, like torn pants and stuff like that on, and he keeps like quoting Howard Finkel for some reason. So like they keep asking him questions and everything, and he's like, "Both feet, let's go over the top rope and hit the floor."
now you're brainwashed. And there's 4 days.
It was a great. We can't get anywhere close to it, but I mean, like John Michael does,
Golden
like a
Boy
perfect.
Get a second robe on drag and slip to the floor.
Yeah. No, it was hilarious because like everybody backstage was just dying laughing because he was doing Howard Finkel to a T. So, but no, the brainwashing thing is not out of bounds as a possibility.
No. And we've seen it before.
Hey,
y'all
remember that way, way awesomely hot brainwashing thing they did in TNA with Angelina Love and that chick that was
Katie Vick
something? And
no,
Katie Vick.
Katie Vick, not
oh,
Katie
God. No. Don't bring that storyline up, please. Jesus.
Half-burned man walking. Anyway. Katie Lee Burchill. Katie Lee Burchill.
Oh. Yeah, she was...
That was hot. I'm sorry. I'm a perv, and that was hot.
Katie Lee Burchill.
She brainwashed Angelina. She flirted with her. It was really cool. Go look it up on YouTube.
I'm sure you do every day.
I think Don Marie and Tori Wilson was a little bit better.
Yeah.
And that wasn't brainwashed. That was blackmail.
Hey, man. Whatever it is, I liked it.
Whatever.
Well, we are going to take a quick break.
The creepy side of the Oversell podcast when we come back.
This is not it.
Yeah,
let's take
account for you to...
Let's take a break and regroup ourselves here. We'll be right back.
Sasha.
This is the Oversell Podcast. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast. Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast. I am at Schroepnuts, Schroepnuts.
I am at One Dangerous Dan.
At WolfMike23.
And I'm also on Facebook, Dangerous Dan Matthews.
Facebook.com/Oversell Podcast. Mo, why don't you hit your social media plugs?
I am at Mo_Siegel on Twitter and at Facebook.com/TheMoEMoSiegel.
Well, guys, MEW had a big show this weekend. It was MEW Blackout. And Dan, you guys know this. I love an MEW show. I have so much fun at those.
Starting to pick up on that.
Yeah.
Are they totally just incredible to you?
Yeah, they are. They are. They're extremely incredible.
Now, this is only like the first independent wrestling show you've ever seen, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
so.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had so many. They opened up with Dan, your friend Damone Salavino.
Yeah.
And this new guy, Duke Warfield, who I'm starting to. Mm-hmm. He has a very...
and you know Damone, Mo. He's Andre from the school.
Yes. Victoria's Secret Cover Girl.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Hey, he is the dark angel to meet Damone Salavino. And I like watching his matches. And they took on these two guys.
I like the guy. I like him. I think he has a great look. And
this dude,
the right person is back, you know, getting in that head, teaching himself.
And
yeah. You'll be doing good.
You know?
I mean,
this is my nephew's first show, and we sat right next to the entrance. So when the good guys would go back to the back, I'd tell them, "Stick your hand out," and they'll give you a five if they can. And mm-hmm. every time,
yeah,
those guys
yeah,
gave him a five. He turned around and he just looked at me with the brightest eyes, and it brought me back to my childhood because mm-hmm. wrestling shows, man, I just could not get enough of them.
Oh yeah,
and going back, they wrestled these two guys. I wish I should have written them down. I didn't catch their names, but is these two black guys, and one of them had
the
this
black too cool too.
No. The one of these guys, like, his thing was he sprays hairspray all over his hair.
Okay.
Precious.
No, it wasn't Precious. But like, and his tag team partner would be like, "Come on, man, that shit smells." Blah blah blah. And you know, Brandon, the chosen one, Miles was commentating. He was say that stuff too.
Yeah.
And, Dan, do you get a Corey Macklin vibe from him?
Oh, from yeah. Anton,
the announcer for MEW.
Yeah, the why
Brandon Chosen Myers.
Sorry, I know him as Anton Wise.
Yeah, but do you get like a Corey Macklin vibe when he talks?
I kind of do,
and I,
a better Corey Macklin totally on the mic.
I
could totally see him be like, "Welcome to MEW, $5 combos. Yeah, but it's necessary. We got a tattoo in the house tonight."
I mean it. Corey Macklin to me was very underrated as a commentator.
I like him.
To me, he was. Everyone has an opinion, right?
When I was younger, he was good, you know?
Yeah, but I'm talking about when he was doing USWA.
Yeah, well, when I was younger, he was good.
Yeah.
But looking at it now,
when he started becoming when he started becoming a personality, I didn't like that.
No. When he started being a wrestler, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the thing about, all right, just like you were talking about, you know, you said it's your son or nephew.
Yeah, my nephew.
The show. Your nephew. See, that's like, I remember being a little kid and he was still running shows at the Mid-South Coliseum. And the reason I'm a Corey Macklin guy is because, one, I never met him. I never got the chance to meet him after I started wrestling. So business-wise, I never met the man. I only remember being, I think I was about 13 years old, and they did a show at the Mid-South Coliseum called Throwback 3 Nightmare in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody remembers that or saw that.
I'm pretty sure I would have been there.
But it was at the Mid-South Coliseum, and the main event was Corey Macklin and Jerry the King Lawler against, I couldn't tell you. I have to go back to my scrapbook look. But he had the whole Jerry Lawler singlet get up on, and I stayed till everybody left the Mid-South Coliseum, and Macklin and Lawler were up by the barricade, you know? And I walked up to him and was like, "Dude, I want to be a wrestler when I grow up. What do I got to do? And he gave me this flyer for some Memphis wrestling boot camp they were doing that summer for like $100 and probably a big ripoff, but I didn't go. But I always thought it was really cool, you know, that he did that. Because I've also met wrestlers that were dicks when I was a kid. And it's like, "Oh, well, I'll finish school and go to the gym." Well, duh, thanks, Captain Obvious.
Nemesis the Clown had a match. He's back at MEW, and he took on who was it? Josh Stone, the guy from Little Rock. He was at the show.
Josh Cross.
I love
that name for some reason.
He's one of the Tuckerman guys.
He comes out and he's a heel, and he yells. And I mean, we're literally sitting right next to the entrance, and he comes out and he screams, "Why did I come back here?" So I looked and I said, "Oh, just go back to Jonesboro." And he's from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he looked at me, he's like, "How stupid are you? I'm from Little Rock." I'm like, "Does it really matter?" And he's like, "Oh, blah, you're stupid." I'm like, "Well, you're the one that came back."
Yeah.
he was being a great heel.
Yeah.
And he took on Nemesis. And, you know, it's funny seeing Nemesis as a face.
Yeah.
Because his gimmick.
It is.
His gimmick, he should be nothing but a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what other matches were there. Reno Diamond was there. He took on half a Full Deck, and the other half came out and distracted him.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost the match. Then Tattoo came out, faced the other member, and in November MEW is going to do a tag team only show.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think every match is going to be a tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
State of Shock.
I mean, like Survivor Series used to be.
Well, only two per team.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. in Darius's match, Tattoo's match, there's a stipulation. Since he won, he got to pick the stipulation for their tag team match against Full Deck.
Mm-hmm.
Whichever team loses has to break up. So that's going to be interesting.
I mean, like a bad episode of Degrassi.
Mo, I don't know if you've seen these guys, Full Deck. Have you?
I've met him. I like him. Is it two black guys?
Yeah, Big Ace and Joker.
Two tall guys. Yeah, I like him. All right, they're cool guys.
Yeah, just
big
ace.
In the ring. I like him.
Big Ace came out and like jerked the microphone away from me and called me Dave Brown.
Didn't hear Dave Malenko. Yeah. I saw you were doing a seminar with Billy Kidman. That's cool.
Yeah.
Then after that, I believe it went into Kid Crazy had another match. That guy is awesome.
Yeah, he's very agile.
Yes, extremely.
Yeah,
and he's from Little Rock as well.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
He can fly.
Yeah, it's the same Kid Crazy that you know.
The main event for the show.
I wasn't talking to you, Greenhorn.
I will reach through this microphone.
Hey, Kid Crazy, not me. Kid Crazy.
Yeah.
Who did he wrestle? Why can't I think of who he wrestled?
Does it really, Matt?
Because I think he put the other guy over. Oh, it'll come back to me. But the main event was Del Tucker and Chris Lex.
Mm-hmm.
Whole
CM Punk and Chris Lex.
Do what?
I bet that was a good match.
Del Tucker and
CM
Chris Lex.
CM Punk and Chris Lex.
Holy shit!
Mm-hmm.
They fucking tore the house down.
Mm-hmm.
They fought over every bit of that arena. Mm-hmm. I think they went into the concession stand and fought.
Wow.
They came back out. They fought like my nephew got freaked out because they started fighting like from the distance where me and Mike is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Mo, you can't see it, but it's only like 3 feet. And my nephew was like,
"Are you saying I'm not tall enough?"
Nah, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You're about my nephew. I think has you beat in height, and he's only 8 years old.
Tell him to get his ass in the ring.
But you know, he was doing the whole he didn't let go of my leg, and he was scared. And I'm like, they're not going to come near you and anything. And eventually, the end of the match, Nemesis comes out and helps Del Tucker and. Mm-hmm. Chris Lex just can't catch a fucking break.
No.
If it's not Derek King and Alan Steele beating him up, it's Nemesis and Del Tucker. And mm-hmm. I mean, they fucking worked him over good.
Mm-hmm.
Del Tucker, after the match, there was this older woman that...
yeah.
She got in his face, and I mean... People, the heat
Del Tucker
can,
yeah, Del Tucker's got like monster heat.
He
there.
Can draw heat.
Oh yeah,
real well. And when he came out, he was stepping up to the rings and I screamed out, "You suck, Del Tucker!" And he just gave me a look, and I shrugged my shoulders like, "Well, it's true." But after the match, him and Nemesis Nemesis did something great. Like every time that woman started getting more fired up with Del Tucker, he would go beat up Lex more. Mm-hmm. And he even said it like. The more you talk, the more I'm going to hurt him.
Yeah.
And eventually, Chris Lex, you know, they went to the back and were celebrating. And Chris Lex came by and he gave my nephew a five. And my nephew said, "Del Tucker sucks. You rule." And Chris was like, "Thanks, little guy."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I'm a fan of the guy.
Yeah.
You know, you have Del Tucker, who is a heat magnet, but Chris Lex is so over as a baby face.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That crowd, when
he's
he comes
like
out.
He's like a tatted up, pierced up teddy bear.
So that was MEW this week. This Thursday, we're actually recording this on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this weird?
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't feel
yeah.
the same.
Monday.
But this Thursday, Memphis Wildfire Wrestling has a show. The doors open at 6. Mm-hmm. Show starts at 7.
Then we will be there.
We will be there.
We'll be there.
The Oversell podcast will be in attendance. Dustin Starr, Derek King, Chris Lex. Who else did he mention?
Alan Steele.
I don't think Alan's going to be there.
Really?
Yeah.
Anybody but Mo Siegel?
Yeah. Anybody but him.
Hey, you know what you should do, Mo? Like, sneak into the building a couple hours earlier and put on your Sting face paint
mm-hmm.
and just wait up in the roof and just at some point just rappel down in the middle of the show just to see what happens.
Yeah, there you go.
The vigilante Mo got his ass kicked by half the roster.
Mm-hmm. The entire roster came out and took turns kicking Mo's ass the entire night.
Well, I'm sure Precious is going to be there.
And just like I did at the Oversell podcast, it'd be the number one most watched wildfire show ever.
Yes. The number one most watched ass kicking ever.
I think Precious is going to be there. And Precious as a worker is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's hilarious. That whole...
The gimmick is hilarious.
When he sells, the whole, ouch, ouch, mm-hmm. ouch. It's that... When I saw it, I was like, this is great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think R&D is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to talk to those guys, or guy and gal.
I'm looking up the event right now on Facebook. Just so
I don't think they've released a card per se, but
they might not have.
I'm sure Dustin Starr and Derek King is going to be somewhere close to the main event, as well as it should be, because those guys are both awesome.
And me and Dustin just won a wrestling trivia contest down on Bill Street.
Yeah, and I saw there's some
Roundhouse Revival stuff.
Yeah, and I saw there's some crazy kid jumping around to Shawn Michaels' music and doing his poses and stuff. Was that true?
No. Busted.
Hey, Sean said that you got to be a good number one and not a good number two.
Oh, that's the. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I think
time,
he meant nothing, you know, something different on a number two.
I'll say this. I'll say this, Mo. When I saw you do that whole spiel, you seem to have mimicked Shawn Michaels to a T. So I just want to commend you on that.
You are speaking to the WrestleMania 30 Fan Access Superstar Impersonation Contest winner. And yep. The Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
He did win it.
That's awesome.
Which is really, honestly, the coolest part was when I, like, looked up when everybody, you know, they did just like, they used to, I felt like Amy Weber or something, because they decided the contest, like the old Diva Search and stuff, like, what about this guy? Well, what about this guy? Well, me and this guy that did Wade Barrett, which personally, that so was not fair because the dude was from England anyway, so of course I've got some bad news. Of course he sounded like Bray Wyatt. I mean, not Bray Wyatt, but Wade Barrett. And I looked out, and when they picked me as the winner, I looked up, straight ahead of me, and Rey Mysterio was at the pizza roll table for the little Castitos signing autographs, and he looked up and he clapped for me, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And I looked over and Sean's just staring at me with a, that was weird.
Well, hey, all right, you got to do it. Do the impression.
Okay. Only if Dan's cool. Are you cool with it, Dan?
I'm fine with it.
We made a pact in NEW that he'd give me a wedgie the next time I tried to do Sean.
Well, he can't wedgie you through a microphone, so.
You're lucky.
All right. Triple H, you can either stand tall with your boys, the NWO, or at Vengeance, you're going to wind up face down like all the rest.
That was good. I like that.
I like it.
I do a good Dusty Rhodes.
Baby, first thing you got to know about baby is that's not for you, Steve. That's for somebody else, baby.
I tell you something, baby. We're down here at the Overthell podcast, and we're just having a good time talking here to Mo Stiegel, baby. You know, he's really small guy, but he's got a lot of heart and fire. And I tell you something, I like me some Mo Stiegel.
Mo Stiegel, baby, on hard times, baby.
Well, Dan? Let's dig into the Memphis Wrestling History book.
Yes. And bought from Mark James.
Yep. We got to get him on the show. I bet that'd be a lot of fun interview.
Yeah. I bet he's got some interesting stories to tell. I like Mark.
Let me get the book here. Yeah. I got my Mark thing. I can't get to it. There we go. All right. I couldn't find an October 27th. But
yeah,
I got an October 25th, 1982. How about that one?
Okay.
There we go.
All right. So we've got Championship Wrestling, Monday, October 25th, 8 p.m., Mid-South Coliseum. Main event, Southern Heavyweight title match, Nick Bockwinkel versus Jerry Lawler.
Wow.
Southern Tag Team title match, no disqualification. Sweet Brown Sugar and Bobby Eaton with Jimmy Hart versus the Fabulous Ones, with Jackie Fargo. World Tag Team title match, New York Dolls versus Jacques Rougeau and Terry Taylor.
Wow.
Bill Superstar Dundee versus Crusher Bromfield. The Sheepherders.
Wow.
The Sheepherders.
Wow.
Versus, look at this one. Versus Dutch Mantel and Buddy Landell.
Wow. That's,
yeah.
That's a tag team match I'd love to see back in the day. Steve Regal and Spike Huber versus The Angel and Carl Fergie. And I saw a recent picture of Carl Fergie.
It was a NWA legend show.
I love his music.
It was a legend show up in like is in Jackson, Tennessee, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was, yeah. Let me hang
yeah,
on.
Yeah, because Cornette was there.
Because Cornette was Lance in the picture. Russell Rock and Roll Express was in the picture. Lawler was in the picture.
The one that happened like just this past week.
Yeah.
Lawler wrestled Terry Lance Funk.
Yeah, I think Terry Funk might have been in the picture,
Lance
too.
Lance Russell was in it because it was a show benefiting or and for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did y'all get a chance to listen to Jim Ross' podcast?
No.
Lance Russell was on it last week. I highly recommend.
I'm going to have to listen to that.
That was a great interview. They talked a lot about, you know, Lance Russell used to travel with Gordon Solie, so we got to hear stories about those guys.
Right.
And anytime, you know, it's just great to see Memphis, especially traditional Memphis wrestling, be represented. And, you know, JR and him it didn't even seem like an interview. It was great just because it seemed like it was just a conversation between the guys. It wasn't like a you know, here's my questions interview. They just talked. So highly recommend going to listen to the Ross Report last week with Lance Russell. I'd love to get him on the show sometime, too.
Sorry, I'm trying to read the...
Dave Brown called me a midget in Rite Aid once.
Hey!
But who hasn't called you a midget in Rite Aid?
Right.
A weatherman called you a midget.
I used to work at the Rite Aid on Union, and like Dave Brown came in one night, and I was like, "Oh, it's Dave Brown!" And you know, I asked him about Lance, and you know, the announcing for the studio wrestling and stuff. And I was like, "I was trained by Nightmare Ken Wayne." He goes, "Oh, really?" He goes, "I didn't know Kenny was training midgets these days."
Oh, damn,
man,
dude,
dang,
that's damn.
Did you have to put ice on that burn?
Got burned by Dave Brown.
Dave
Holy
Brown
shit.
Let it go.
Let me get your guys' thoughts on this because this just popped in my head. And me and Mo, I think, have talked about this before. The Young Bucks sent some news today that they have signed with a major company.
I think they're full of it.
M-E-W.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I think they're full of it, and I think they're just... just trolling the internet.
I completely agree.
I will be very surprised if anybody signs them because of just...
No, I'll be surprised if NXT signs them.
I think they're trolling for one reason. I think it's a bunch of crap is because... I remember back, I think it was this year or it was late last year, there was that scuttlebutt that the Young Bucks were gonna join WWE. Mm-hmm. The WWE was interested in them. And that supposedly they turned the WWE down and... So WWE just started having super kicks all over their TV show because of the Young Bucks. Bullcrap. WWE, Dan, you can attest to this. You've been there. I haven't. WWE is such a large-scale conglomerate. They don't give a crap about one individual person.
No.
They don't care about the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are not that over. As far as I'm concerned, they probably tore their britches with the WWE.
Yeah, one thing that just... reverberates in my head though is they're scooping up talent. They really are. They're eating up talent. They're hoarding talent. They really are. Mm-hmm. I mean, and which
they're
is great. Well, no, they're not trying to kill the indies.
Well,
they're trying to take all the talent off the indies.
Well, and they just signed that deal with Evolve too, so
yeah. So I mean, they're making deals, they're wheeling and dealing, they're scooping up talent. They want to get more live shows out on the road, you know. And there was that conference call we had about 6 or 8 months ago, and they said that they wanted to have 3 touring brands by 2017.
Right, like they've already started touring NXT.
And they've already got 2. Yeah. So, you know, they've got the main roster, and they've got, you know, NXT. So
I think there's a brand split again.
They're probably going to do SmackDown and Raw.
Great,
and NXT, yeah.
Grand and wonderful.
You know, but you never know.
Probably after Mania. Probably after WrestleMania.
Bring back the draft. You know what?
Bring back the draft. Draft me to NXT. I want to get off the main roster, please.
Hey, that's another funny thing, because I saw somebody on Facebook asking, you know, should NXT take SmackDown spot? And no, because you still need a place to learn. Yeah.
Well, not even that, but NXT is exclusive to the network.
Right.
They're not going to put something that's exclusive to the network that they can make money off of.
There's a lot of people just paying the $9.99
just to watch NXT.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if you guys can, we all have the network, go watch Breaking Ground.
I did like it. I didn't get to see all of it because, like I said, I was 30 minutes behind, and it kind of cut me off about 20 minutes in, I think.
Yeah. Well, they did, after the pay-per-view, they did a quick, it wasn't the full episode.
It wasn't a full episode.
But this.
What I saw of it, I liked.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And.
What is it, like a Survivor WWE?
No, was like Total Divas without the damn reality show
actually,
plugged into it.
This is what they could have done this instead of Tough Enough.
Yes.
This would have been a lot better of an avenue than what, because, and George will like this in the chat room because we're both Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans, but the guy, one of the guys they focused on was Sabby Piscitelli.
Yes.
He was a safety for. He wasn't that good. I'll go ahead and let you guys know. Sabby Piscitelli was not a good player in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they had to say that on the show. And I know George is typing right now. I know he is. He's going to say something about Sabby. But, you know, he's a great athlete, but he was Sabby the GOAT. There it is.
Yeah.
I like the story of seeing, like, who's that commentator? Not commentator, but ringside interviewer. Taylor.
They just recently let
Devin
go
Taylor.
Of her, didn't they?
They may have, because this was probably filmed a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they let go of her just in the last few weeks because there was something between her and Dana Brooke brewing, and then all of a sudden she just disappeared. And
yeah.
Then they told everybody they released her.
And they focused on Baron Corbin mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Hearing his story
yeah.
was really cool. And then that, I don't want to mispronounce her name, is like Nufa or something.
Noof.
Like,
they Noof kept, everybody called her Noof.
Noof or something. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be it's very entertaining. And like I said, this should have been done instead of Tough Enough.
Yes.
Because guess what? They've pretty much signed.
I love Tough Enough as a joke.
Yeah, they pretty much signed the top six from Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Which, thank you, WWE. You just. Confirmed to us that show means absolutely
nothing.
Right.
That means absolutely nothing.
I watched like two episodes of Tough Enough. I watched the first one when they were signing the people they were going to have on the show, and then I watched the last one where Cesaro. Oh, poor Cesaro.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Cesaro, you're gonna work with these guys in a 3-minute match. No, oh, thanks.
I would have done like I did with Anthony that time and just knocked the shit out of him and pinned him.
man, that just gets on my nerves because, like, man, like, I hate to, like, damn, we would have done any. I know, like, 8 people that would have been better in that spot than those guys that got to work Cesaro.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Well, we need to wrap it up for this week. As we like to end every episode. We like to do Superstar of the Week. So, guys, I ask you this. Who is your
Superstar of the Week?
Mike.
Do I get to pick one?
Yes.
Your Superstar is Mike?
Yeah.
No. Yes. Mike, you're up first.
I'm up first.
What?
Just pick a Superstar of the Week, Mike.
Even though he lost the pay-per-view, Bray Wyatt.
Damn.
I'm going to say Undertaker.
Mo.
I liked Undertaker.
I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar. Because like I said on the podcast, he's the only guy in history that Undertaker does not get any revenge on.
I'm going to take Roman Reigns.
Okay.
I like what they're going to do with him as a number one contender. And this feels more organic than when they tried to shove him down our throats
yeah.
at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
The fans are still going to give him shit, though.
Yeah, they're still going
to
give him shit.
I think they're starting to come around a little bit
more.
I'm going to
let you finish, but I think Daniel Bryan should have never
mind. Mo, I promise you, and I said it, and some people gave me hell about it. I wanted Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble. Half the world did.
I think Everybody I really – let's all take a moment to sincerely hope that they learned their lesson with this last Royal Rumble and they actually put in surprise entrance and let the last 6 guys be people who are actually have a chance at being in
exactly,
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Exactly. I remember when Benoit won it. The year Benoit we're not supposed to mention it. Okay,
who? Who?
The year that guy won it. I remember the last guys in the ring were like Cena, Jericho, Big Show.
Yeah.
Like, any of those guys could have won Mania.
Well, George in the chat room has a Superstar of the Week, and he says Nikki Bella.
Nikki Bella.
She's wrestled 3 good matches since the last episode of the podcast. So.
And she may be taking time off now, too.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yep.
I like the turn Paige did finally.
Yeah.
Making
to,
a full fledged heel
to,
turn.
Like, let the like guy on the keyboard know that Superstar of the Week is not sexually transmitted.
Oh, Mo. Well, Mo, man, thank you for coming on, and you know this is
fun as always.
Mo is going to help us review pay per views from now on if he can. So you know you're going.
Yes, that's a Survivor Series.
Yes, sir.
25 years of the Undertaker.
All right, folks.
I'm anxious to see what they do with that. I really am.
Well, he's going
to
be in a Survivor Series match.
Will a birthday cake out?
Yeah, you know. He's going to
out.
I'm sure he's going to get thrown in a casket and then disappear until WrestleMania next
year. Yeah, there you go.
He got abducted, and he's going to show up at Survivor Series hatching out of an egg.
The gobbly taker.
The gobbly taker.
Hold on. I'm just getting a news report. This just in. Mike has been suspended from the Oversell podcast for a week. George said he reserves all keyboard fluids for Sasha. All right. We got to drop. This is getting bad. Well, all right, folks. Well, we thank you for listening, subscribing, and downloading. Hey, be sure you give us a review on iTunes. Give us 5 stars and write a little review. It helps us out in ratings and gets us listed better in iTunes. Well, that's it for this week, guys. We thank you for listening. Just a reminder, you've been listening to the Oversell Podcast.